Good morning. Over the last couple of months or so, every once in a while I hear a commercial on the radio that's bringing attention to a medical disorder called non-24. This non-24, it affects about 70% of people who are totally blind. Can't see at all. And this commercial has either a man or a woman who is blind speaking about the problems they have with this and just, again, trying to bring attention to it so more people are aware of it so they can get help. I looked into this non-24, not that I'm blind by any means, but the commercials were interesting and I wanted to learn more about it. And I learned that non-24 is what they call a circadian rhythm disorder. And these circadian rhythms, which we all have, they are controlled by our internal body clock, our master clock that's inside of our bodies. And these rhythms tell us when to wake up, when to eat, when to sleep, among other things. It's kind of the natural order of our bodies. And in most people, whether they're blind or not, this master clock, from what I've read anyway, it tends to run a little long. It's usually longer than 24 hours, some by just a few minutes, sometimes by a half hour. But after a few days or weeks of this clock being off, those extra minutes add up over time, and your clock is way off than what it should be. And also, from what I've read, this condition does not affect many people who can see. If any, it's mostly found in those who are blind, this non-24, and that's because with people who can see, we get clues from the environment of what time it should be. We get environmental clues that signal our brain, and our master clock gets reset. Every day, our master clock gets reset. When we see the sun coming up, we know it's not going down. We know it's not 9 o'clock at night. And our body gets reset. This clock gets reset. But for those who are blind, they can't see that light. They're stuck in darkness. So they can't see the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. They can't see their bedroom getting brighter in the morning and know it's time to get up, or see the room getting darker, see it getting darker outside, and their body is just telling themselves, okay, I need to wind down. Need to start getting ready for bed. Because they can't see, their internal clock doesn't reset. It could be 1 o'clock in the morning, but because their body's internal clock thinks it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they're wide awake. And then when it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, their body thinks it's 1 o'clock in the morning, they're ready to go to bed. They're tired. But if they're at work or taking care of the kids or driving, that could be an issue. That could be a problem. If they're ready to fall asleep like it's 1 o'clock in the morning. So this non-24 for someone who is blind is, it could be pretty serious. Because they can't see that light. They can't get their bodies reset. They can't get this clock reset. Because they can't see the light in their lives. It's totally darkness for them. As a kid, you would sometimes close your eyes and try to walk around pretending to be blind, just kind of seeing what it's like. And I remember doing that, but we were always able to open our eyes and have that blessing of not being blind and being able to see again, see everything around us. When I go to sleep, I like to have the room dark. I don't like to have any lights on, even like a night light, any kind of light. Getting to sleep is kind of a hindrance sometimes. Even the light of the numbers on the alarm clock, and it's like, man, that's bright. But I never thought of this. As someone who is blind, it's always dark. I mean, they don't get to shut their eyes and have the lights go off. It's always dark. So going to sleep at night is the same as being awake in the morning. There's no change there. It's all dark. But I've never thought of blindness that way, not being able to tell if it was day or night, not being able to see the light, from the sun. It is important to have light in our lives. Light can, like I've mentioned, light can help us know if it's morning or night, if we should be waking up or going to sleep. Light can help us see our way if the room is dark, and even if it's a room we're familiar with, if that room is dark, we can have trouble getting around, we can stumble over something. But we can easily see, even if we have just a small light turned on, that's enough for us to see. Light can offer protection. In the nature TV survival shows, if there's people out in the wilderness trying to survive, they want a fire, sometimes for the heat, but also to protect them from animals, to keep the animals away from the fire. Plus, it just seems like a lot more bad things happen in the dark. Murders and muggings, you don't see a lot of those happening in the daylight. They do happen occasionally, but generally they happen in the dark. And that's why there's parking lots of stores have lights all over the parking lots so people feel safe when they're walking to their cars. So they're not all in the dark. Job chapter 24, verses 13 through 17. Says, there are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor abide in its paths. The murderer rises with the light. He kills the poor and needy. And in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me. And he disguises his face. In the dark they break into houses, which they mark for themselves in the daytime. They do not know the light. For the morning is the same to them as the shadow of death. If someone recognizes them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. Having a light can be very important. At home we have a small tortoise who's named Roxy, and she lives in this big plastic Rubbermaid container. This is her world. There are no windows in her container. It's all plastic, blue plastic walls for her. That's all she can see. She can't see outside. She can't see the light from the sun, unless it's really bright. The room brightens up, but she can't get that sunshine directly. But light is essential for a tortoise. Tortoises are cold-blooded, so they can't produce any of their own body heat. She needs heat from this light in order to get warm, to get her body temperature up, and which is needed for her to digest her food properly. And she also needs specific UV light, kind of a radiation from the light, in order for her shell to grow. If she didn't have this type of light on her shell, it wouldn't grow right. There'd be soft spots, and it'd kind of be deformed. So she needs light. So we have given her light. She has two bulbs above her little habitat, one for heat and the other for this UV light. And we have it set to a timer to automatically go on and off at the same time each day. And she has set her life to this light. Even as the evening gets later and her light's still on, we can kind of see her. She knows it's getting... Her body clock is up. She knows it's getting later in the day, so she's tucked in her shell. She's sleeping. But when her light turns off at 9:30, if the room is kind of quiet, you can kind of hear her scratching away again. She's woken back up, and she's now burrowing down under her habitat. So when that light goes off, she knows that it's really time to go in and tuck herself in and protect herself. Because in the wild, she wouldn't want to leave herself out in the open. She'd want to get down under something and hide herself. So we have given her the light in her world that she needs so she can be healthy and grow and do what she's supposed to do. Before we became Christians, we lived in darkness. We lived in darkness, the darkness of sin. And we were blind. We were blind to, so to speak. We didn't have a light when we were in worlds in sin. But a light was put into our world so that we could be spiritually healthy and grow spiritually. I'm going to keep turning back to John chapter 3, off and on. The first part of John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world." A light has come into our world. Our world is no longer in darkness. We have been given a light. Before God created light, the world was in chaos. Genesis 1 and 2 says that it was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the land. Light provides order, provides structure, it provides stability. Roxy knows when to wake up and come out of her shell when that light comes on, and when to go to sleep and tuck into her shell for protection when the light goes off. Our lives are ran by time. The time it takes for the earth to revolve on its axis and spreading that light over the different parts of the earth, creating day and night. Our world runs on this light. This light that was put into our world can do the same thing. It can provide order, stability, and structure into our lives. And we should open ourselves up to this light. When this light is on in our lives, that we should come out and look for it. And when it's off, when there's darkness around us, we should protect ourselves. We should be aware that there could be dangers out there and be ready to protect ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. I've been reading mainly from the New King James. This I'm going to read actually from the New International. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light, becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." We were in darkness, but now we are in the light of the Lord. And this light makes everything visible. This light provides us a way to see in the dark, to see in this dark world that we live in. Again, like a dark room, even the smallest light. Again, I use my cell phone to light up the floor sometimes if I don't want to turn the light on. Even the smallest light can help us see where to go. It can light up the dark. I read from John chapter 3 a little bit ago. I'm going to skip and go to verse 21. John 3:21. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." He who loves the truth comes to the light, goes to the light. Like any kind of light bulb, sometimes the light that we have for Roxy, those light bulbs can burn out, just like any other light bulb. And she's gone a day or so before without this heat lamp, the main source of her light, before we can get to the store and get a replacement one. But once we do, once we get that new light bulb back in there, we can see her walking to that light, and she just looks up and stretches her neck as far up to that light as she can get. She goes to the light. She wants to be as close to that light as possible. There's a quote I found. Actually, I've had it at work for a while. It was on a May Day cup. They were giving out May Day cups at work a couple years ago, and it was on this cup, and I took off the sticker. "Be like a flower and turn your face to the sun." It's spelled sun, S-U-N. I like spelling it S-O-N. "Be like a flower and turn your face to the sun." Flowers and plants of all kind, they need light and sunlight to grow and to live. And they grow to the light. If you turn the plants, they will grow in a direction towards the light. And you can turn the other way and it will turn the other way. They will turn and grow towards the light. We need to turn our face to the sun, spelled S-O-N. He is our light. In Jesus' ministry, he would occasionally refer to people as a plant. He would say, "You are the vine, I am the branches." He would compare people to fruit trees and if they bear good fruit or bad fruit. So again, we are these type of plants that we should grow as plants grow towards the sun. And as fruit trees, like he was mentioning, there are different types of fruit that we can have in our lives that we should produce if we're getting this light. If we're getting the light and growing the way he wants us to, there are fruits that we should have or produce in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this light is important for us to produce these fruits of the Spirit, to have these in our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So having this light in our lives is very important, just as having the physical light from the sun, S-U-N, this light, that light resets our internal body clock so we can manage our day, having structure to it. Spiritual light from the sun, S-O-N, is even more important for us to manage our spiritual lives and get these fruits of the Spirit to grow in us with this light. But if we're blinded, like someone with this non-24 disorder who is blind and we can't see this light, then we could find ourselves in darkness. I want to go back to John chapter 3. How could we be blinded? Because blindness isn't always something that happens at birth. There are things that can happen in our lives, in people's lives, that cause them to become blind. As Christians, we can become blind as well. So in John chapter 3, I've skipped him before. I'm going to read the whole part of it now. So 19, starting there. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So if we find ourselves loving the darkness rather than the light, then we can find ourselves being blind on purpose. We can purposefully be making ourselves blind. It's like when we were kids and pretending to be blind, sometimes as Christians, we can find ourselves doing that. We can close our eyes and not wanting to see what's around us. If something's too hard or too much of a struggle or we don't want to, we want to just go with the world. We can close our eyes to this light and we can find ourselves in darkness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. (Clears throat) Ephesians 4:17-19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So again, it's if we can find ourselves being ignorant or having their understanding darkened. So the more understanding we can have in our lives, the less ignorance we can have in our lives, the more we try to know and read and learn, the less chance we have of being blind to this light. While Jesus was here on earth, he healed many people of their blindness. And I've always looked at those events when we've read those stories and those accounts as something that happened. I didn't really think about maybe the long-term effects or the effects that it had on the person being healed as far as more the example that it showed to people around them. But in the case of those who were blind and then could see, their lives were changed forever. They could now see people who they loved and who loved them. They wouldn't have to rely on others to help them from place to place. But something I never thought of was that they could now see the light, physically see the light. They could now see the sun come up and go down. They could see the sky brightening, their room brightening. They could know, I mean, like I talked about at the beginning, their body clock would be reset just like ours because they can now see the light. And I couldn't help but think of the line in the song in Amazing Grace, "I once was blind and now I see." That has a totally, at least to me, a totally different aspect when it's talking about this kind of light. I mean, what kind of light? Yes, you were blind and now you see, but we can be blind. We can be blind in our spiritual lives and then now see. You can see this light in our lives that helped regulate all of our spiritual lives. Those who Jesus healed of their blindness were blind physically, but maybe they were also blind spiritually. And then being given this gift of sight physically might have also given them sight spiritually, might have opened their eyes spiritually so they could see as well. I'd like to read an account of one of these people that Jesus healed. And as I read it, I want to look at not only his physical healing, but also his spiritual healing as well. I'm going to read from John chapter 9. I'm going to read the whole chapter because it's the whole story of when Christ is healing this blind man. So John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to wash, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put clay on my eyes and washed, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind, and how then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were completely born to sins, and you are teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who was talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore your sin remains. Reading this story again last night in the context of what I was wanting to use, I like the growth of this man. And where is it? Verse 11. Well, they're asking him one of the times about how this happened. And he says, How your eyes opened. And this man answers, A man called Jesus. That's all he knew of him. A man called Jesus. And then later, in verse 17, he's asked again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He is a prophet. He's grown a little bit. He's now more than just Jesus. He's a prophet. And then he begins to defend him. to the Pharisees. He's, do you want to become his disciples too? Because they're asking him so many questions. He's like, what, you want to know so much about him? Are you, you want to follow him too? And then he comes, and Jesus finally talks to him again. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? He's ready to believe. His eyes have been opened. He's ready to believe. So Jesus tells him that it's him. He goes, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This man was blind physically and I imagine spiritually, but because his eyes were opened, he could see physically and he could see spiritually as well. Like I said, there are times when we can see and there's times when we're going to be blind in our lives. And it's getting rid of that blindness in our lives and getting to see that light in our lives and know how important that light is and how important we need to what that light does for us in our lives. John 8 and 12 says, Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is our spiritual light in this world of darkness. And if we find ourselves becoming blind to his light, he can heal us of that blindness. But we have to come to him. We have to follow him. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. We need to stay close to that light and follow that light so we can see where we're going. And finally, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 and 20. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Jesus is an everlasting light. He is not going to leave us. He is not going to leave us and cause us to be in darkness, being blind. It's our choice if we're blinded. And the way we can get rid of that blindness is to come to him and bring that light of him into our lives so that we can see the things around us and know what he wants and know how great of a God he is. If you need him in your life and you need that light, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing.